SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to the Morning After on Sports Grid. You are listening on Sirius XM Channel 204, the mightier 1090 on the West Coast and all across the digital empire. That is the Sports Grid Network. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. My usual co-host, Ariel Epstein, is off for the day, but we still have a jam-packed show for you on this Tuesday. This is officially dubbed the Morning After with two cups of Joe, because in the second hour at 10 a.m. Eastern, we have Joe Pisapia to do a full-blown baseball breakdown. Our early leans for the All-Star Game, a look back on the first half of the MLB season, and a look ahead to the second half and where you can find value in the futures market. But I say it's two cups of Joe, or cup of Joe, make it a double, because joining me now is my co-host for this first hour from 9 a.m. Eastern all the way to 10 a.m. Eastern. It is Joe Lisi. You can find him here all across the Sports Grid Network, a host of In-Game Live over the weekend, and a host of Football Full Circle on Sirius XM Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio every weekday, noon to 2 p.m. Eastern. Joe, it is a pleasure to have you here on the Morning After.
Oh, always a pleasure, Ben. I need a cup of Joe after that intro. You get me all juiced up, not just for Football Full Circle, but, you know, talking about the Home Run Derby last night, NFL football on tap. Doesn't get better than this, so looking forward to a great talk for the next hour.
Joe, you are a football guy through and through. We are in the middle part of July, which means we are getting very, very close to training camps across the National Football League opening up. Fall camps on the collegiate level about to get underway in a few weeks as well. We will have an early preview of the entire 2021 football season, both in the NFL and across college football. But first, Joe, like you mentioned, we start with one of the few live events that we had yesterday evening, the Home Run Derby at Coors Field in Denver, Colorado. And it was the repeat champion, Pete Alonso, going back-to-back, winning his second straight Home Run Derby. And Joe, Pete put on an absolute show. 35 home runs in that opening round. He cashed a plus 500 ticket where he opened with his Home Run Derby odds late last night, right before the Derby got underway. He was plus 600 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So that amazing, the Pete Alonso Met getting it done for you out there with some good plus money, winning his second straight Home Run Derby. And let's just say, Pete Alonso was pretty confident he would come out a winner.
For me, I know there was no point where I thought I was going to lose, ever. Even months before, when the seedings came out, teammates came up to me like, "Oh, that's disrespect. You're defending your title. What guy that's defending their title is a fifth seed? Nobody. And are you pissed about that?" I'm like, "No, I'm going to win anyways. Doesn't matter." And for me, this is such a fun time for me.
Joe, maybe more impressive than the home run display Pete Alonso put on last night at Coors Field were the dance moves. He called a timeout in that final round, not to really catch his breath, but to hype the crowd up so the environment was lively in Denver last night. Pete Alonso again winning his second straight home run derby, the third ever MLB athlete to win two straight back-to-back home run derbies. Joe, what did you make of the festivities last night of the home run derby at Coors Field?
Oh, loved it, Ben. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. You mentioned the dance moves of Pete Alonso. Looked like a WWE event at one point, right? You know, almost like Ric Flair. Woo! He was, you know, showboating. That's what it's all about, being a Met fan, flexing the New York muscle. I love it. And how about six home runs in the final round to pull that victory out, 23-22? I mean, a come-from-behind win, but unbelievable ticket that he cashed last night.
Six straight home runs in that final minute to go over and beat Trey Mancini in the finals. We welcome in our Sports Grid radio audience here to the Morning After, Sirius XM Channel 204, the mightier 1090 on the West Coast. It's Ben Stevens, and joined for this first hour on our Morning After, two cups of Joe, our first Joe of the day in Joe Lisi. Now, Joe, you are in the state of New Jersey. There was a super boost on the FanDuel Sportsbook last night for Pete Alonso to win his opening round matchup from minus 225 as the heavily juice favorite against Salvador Perez to plus 100. Joe, did you partake in that boost on the FanDuel Sportsbook?
No, I missed the boost last night, Ben. I did miss the boost. I was on Ohtani to pull it out. He didn't get it done. But, again, I mean, you know, that's what FanDuel does. They give you great value and great opportunities to win money. So any fans in the state of New Jersey that took part, they got some money in their pocket today.
Joe, what about this ticket, though? And thanks to Juan Soto in that opening round matchup against Shohei Ohtani, hitting a 520-foot home run, a home run derby record, and that means the over on the FanDuel Sportsbook cashes. It was set at 519.5. Joe, somehow, even in a home run derby, a made-for-TV event, the FanDuel Sportsbook remains that sharp of a book, setting the line at 519.5 and it going over by the hook at 520, thanks to Juan Soto. Did you partake in the over, Joe Lisi?
No, I didn't. Not the over last night. And that's amazing to me. 520 on the dime. They got it by a half. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, out of all the props that they had last night, I mean, that one to nail on the money. I mean, because when you see Coors Field, you think of the altitude. You think of guys just being able to knock the balls possibly 600 feet, right? And to put it right at 520, that was an amazing, amazing statistic for me. And, you know, great job by FanDuel, you know, putting it at 519.5 last night.
So many home runs, 500 feet or more last night at Coors Field. The All-Star game on this Tuesday as well. We'll have some early leans for that in our second hour with our second cup of Joe, Joe Pisapia. But coming up here with Joe Lisi, we dive full head first into a football preview for the 2021 season. We'll get to college later in the hour, but first some National Football League talk, looking at the futures market and where there might be value in the Super Bowl, the AFC, the NFC, all the divisional odds. Joe, we will be right back here on the morning after. The morning after with two cups of Joe, make it a double order, add in that little bit of espresso because the energy is coming high here on this Tuesday. Stay with us here on the morning after, Sirius XM, Channel 204, the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the morning after on Sports Grid, Sirius XM Channel 204. I'm your host, Ben Stevens, and joined on this official two cups of Joe on the morning after in this first hour. It is our first Joe of the day, Joe Lisi. And Joe, we're at a point of the sports calendar where there's a little bit of a pause. We're at the All-Star break in Major League Baseball. Game four of the NBA Finals comes tomorrow. The Olympics in a few weeks, but really the next big event on the horizon is the start of the NFL season and football all around. So we will take an early look and preview the 2021 NFL campaign, starting off, Joe, by looking at the futures market on the FanDuel Sportsbook and where there might be some value, because this is the time, Joe Lisi, where a lot of people start to turn their attention, start their early handicapping for that NFL season, whether it be team win totals, divisional odds, or where we'll start, Joe, in that Super Bowl market, because the names at the top of the Super Bowl future outright market are not going to surprise anybody by any means. It's the Kansas City Chiefs at plus 500, the favorites on FanDuel right now. The reigning Super Bowl champions, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the second shortest odds at plus 650. You have the Buffalo Bills falling in behind that at 12-1 plus 1200. The San Francisco 49ers at plus 1300. The Rams and the Ravens at 14-1 as well, plus 1400. So Joe, when you look at this board, let's start at the top with the Chiefs and the Bucks. Any surprise there to see those two names leading the way in the futures outright market for the Super Bowl?
No, absolutely not, especially the off-the-field moves in terms of what Kansas City was able to do in terms of just revamping that offensive line, right, Ben? We saw the inefficiency and the inconsistency of the offensive line in the Super Bowl get dominated by that front seven of Tampa Bay and linebacker Devin White. So now that they shored that up, they are going to have an elite offense protect Patrick Mahomes. So Kansas City definitely is the front runner heading into the season. And what can you say about Tampa Bay? I mean, Tom Brady going for 8 Super Bowl rings. Most of the team, if not all of the team, comes back That was a dominant defensive performance, and all they do is reload. If they're motivated, they are going to be very difficult to knock off in the NFC. But there's a couple teams there that I think are knocking on the door. You look at Josh Allen, you look at Buffalo, what they did, especially in the NFL draft, they get Boogie Basham, they get top-ranked first-round draft pick Gregory Rousseau, the defensive end for Miami. That defense is going to be lethal and can challenge Kansas City in the AFC. And then how about Russell Wilson at 23-1 for the Seattle Seahawks? I understand the off-the-field issues, and I understand the fact that they really didn't make a lot of off-season moves in terms of free agency. But if you're going to give me one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL with that team that lost to the LA Rams last year at 23-1, that's very appealing to me entering the season.
Joe, I think it's fascinating when you look at Tampa Bay. I saw a stat earlier this month that something like 31 players on the Bucs last year from that Super Bowl winning roster played 300 or more minutes of production. All 31 of those guys are returning for the 2021 NFL season, and they keep the consistency and the congruency in their coaching staff as well, with Bruce Arians back as the head coach, of course, and then you have Byron Leftwich back as the offensive coordinator and Todd Bowles on that defensive side, a defensive unit that looked fantastic in the Super Bowl. So, Joe, when you see the Chiefs and the Bucks, the only teams up there with three digits and a plus number next to their name on the FanDuel Sportsbook, do you think it is more than likely we see a rematch in Super Bowl 56 of what we saw in Super Bowl 55?
There's a possibility, but I'm going to bet against that. It's very difficult to repeat no matter what in terms of the NFL, especially when a lot of these teams get free agents and they get draft picks. I mean, there's plug-and-play type of players for the top 10 teams in terms of the NFL. Injuries can occur. So I'm always one, after a Super Bowl run by both Kansas City and Tampa Bay, to look at some under-the-radar teams. Like I mentioned, I think Buffalo is clearly the second-best team entering the season, especially from a defensive perspective. Can Josh Allen take that next progression? But then you look back in the pack. You know, there's a team like Minnesota at 40-1, Ben, and call me crazy, but I think they're going to be the dark horse of the NFC. So that's where I look in terms of value, especially in terms of the futures market before the season starts.
And Joe, I think you bring up a great point, because when you look at a futures outright market, really in any sport, and you're looking across the board, there's a difference between the favorites and a reason they have those shorter numbers and the value you can find on the board, because there's not a ton of value on the Kansas City Chiefs, although it's a plus money figure at plus 500. When you look across the board and you start to see some teams like the Buffalo Bills or even the San Francisco 49ers, maybe you're looking at the Cleveland Browns finally being able to reach that threshold of the Super Bowl. That's where I think there is value. Value as opposed to just the favorites on the board. But Joe, let's go even a little bit further into the AFC Conference Championship odds. No surprise, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs up there at plus 200. If the Chiefs are able to win the AFC, it will be their third straight bid to the Super Bowl. But then you look at the Buffalo Bills at plus 470, the Baltimore Ravens plus 550, the Cleveland Browns at 8-1 at plus 1800. Everybody's favorite darling in the AFC West this year, the Chargers at plus 1400. So Joe, when we talk about that idea of value, a team that can knock off the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC. You mentioned the Buffalo Bills having the talent across that roster, both offensively and defensively, to be able to do so. Are there a couple other organizations you think in the AFC that have a chance to make a run to that title?
Well, I think one is definitely Cleveland, and it's their ability to run the football. You have Kareem Hunt, you have Nick Chubb, and now Odell Beckham comes back. He's healthy. He's probably motivated, right? He wasn't on that team in the second half of the season. They made that playoff run and went toe-to-toe with Kansas City in the second half of that ballgame from a defensive perspective, with or without Patrick Mahomes. That defense was dialed into that matchup. So Stefanski has this team headed in the right direction. I think they play with a physicality. The interior line play for me, Ben, is tops in terms of the NFL. They can wear teams down as games progress. And when you can run the football with two big backs like that, you can sustain drives and win ball games in the fourth quarter. So definitely like Cleveland. Like I said, Buffalo as well. Another team that I think you have to keep an eye on, and this seems crazy in terms of, you know, other teams that could possibly contend, right? Keep an eye out, and it's a long shot, but the Las Vegas Raiders, I think, have the nucleus to make a run. If that defense can get better with John Gruden, I love what they did in terms of the interior offensive line. They were one of the best in terms of the NFL a couple of years ago. If they can get back to running the football consistently, I think they could be a dangerous team in the West this year.
And they have a running back to do so in Josh Jacobs, who has been fantastic in his few years in the NFL out of Alabama. We'll get to some college football talk a little bit later in this hour. But, Joe, as we look at the other conference, the NFC, of course, if you had the Chiefs leading the way in the AFC, it's going to be the Bucs leading the way in the NFC at plus 270. But the team with the second shortest odds, Joe, is a team I want to highlight here, the San Francisco 49ers at plus 470. You also saw them in the Super Bowl futures market with the fourth shortest odds at plus 1300. Now, what do you make of this upcoming year for San Francisco, Joe, and their outlook on maybe winning the NFC or even getting to that Super Bowl game?
Their short odds, Ben, are based solely on the schedule. When you look at that schedule, I mean, you could just knock off, and it doesn't even matter whether it's Garoppolo or Trey Lance at the helm. They can win just off of talent on paper about eight games. So that's why I think they are front runners and have short value in terms of making a title run and a Super Bowl run as well, because if they can get to 13-4 overall, they're going to have an opportunity. I think the problem remains for this team is as the season progresses, is if there is adversity, that's going to fall on Jimmy Garoppolo, that's going to fall on the quarterback situation, and how does the team respond during those type of circumstances? That's why I don't like San Francisco. I don't like them for the division. I don't like them overall, even though from a schedule perspective, very light entering 2021.
Joe, you mentioned that division. The NFC West is going to be incredible to watch this year. Of the five shortest odds right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook for the NFC, three of those teams coming from the NFC West, with the Niners there at plus 470, the Rams not far behind at plus 700, and those Seattle Seahawks that you think might be a trendy pick for the Super Bowl market at plus 850 as well. It's interesting to see San Francisco up there, Joe, because last year so depleted by injury on the defensive side of the ball, but if they can get back and healthy, this was a team that made the Super Bowl 2 years ago. So we go from looking at the futures market to a team win total takeover on the other side of the break. Coming up next here on Sports Grid, Sirius XM Channel 204, the morning after returns with more football talk in just a few.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Morning After on Sports Grid, Sirius XM Channel 204 is where you are listening in. I'm your host, Ben Stevens, and in this first hour on the Morning After Two Cups of Joe, it is our first Joe of the day, our first espresso shot with Joe Lisi here in a full-blown football breakdown looking forward to the 2021 NFL season. Joe, last segment, we did Super Bowl future odds, conference future outright odds, and by the way, a small mistake on my part, the FanDuel Sportsbook gives you so many options, a plethora, a buffet of ways to wager on the futures market in the NFL. I was reading some of the number one seeds in the conference market, not the conference championship odds. The order the same, some of the prices a little bit different. Again, go to the FanDuel Sportsbook. They have so many different ways to win. But Joe, from the futures market, now dived in a little bit deeper here as we look at team win totals, a team win total takeover this segment. And we start with a couple of your favorite overs for the upcoming year. Two teams in the NFC. Let's first focus on a team you mentioned in the futures market, the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, their team win total set at 8.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The over? Well, the over, Joe, has the juice at minus 170. What do you like about this Vikings team for 2021?
Well, the foundation and the nucleus, right? So Dalvin Cook comes back. He should be healthy at the start of the year. Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, the second-year wide receiver from LSU. And what they were able to do in the draft, Ben, I mean, Christian Darrisaw and Wyatt Davis solidify the offensive line. And on the defensive side of the ball, they get Jalen Twyman. He should be okay with the off-the-field incident at the start of training camp. You look at his teammate Patrick Jones that led the ACC, Chaz Surratt, leading tackler for North Carolina last year. That defense will be much better, and Kirk Cousins has to step up, but the foundation is there for this team to win 12 to 13 games entering 2021, and I'm excited.
So Joe, for the Minnesota Vikings, the over heavily juiced at minus 170. For the other team win total, you like the over for the Carolina Panthers. The over has the plus money at plus 110. Are you a believer in Sam Darnold in a new situation with Matt Rhule as his head coach to help the Panthers have a little bit more success on the field this season?
I am a believer, Ben, and I'll tell you this. If you can get the production out of Sam Darnold this year, it will be due to Joe Brady's tutelage. And Joe Brady can get the most out of a quarterback. Did so with Joe Burrow a couple of years ago in Baton Rouge. But the biggest progression in a head coach is from year one to year number two, and that's what Matt Rhule did at Baylor. He coached up the interior offense and defensive lines. That defensive front will be much more improved with Derek Brown. You add J.C. Horn, the big-time corner from South Carolina. This defense will be vicious. I know the schedule is tight and tough, but Carolina is going to surprise a lot of people. Don't be shocked if they make a wild card this year.
Joe, two of your favorite unders also are both set at 6.5. The Cincinnati Bengals at 6.5, the Philadelphia Eagles at 6.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. Why do you think both of those teams go under their team win total?
Well, for Cincinnati, it's simple. Zach Taylor shouldn't be a head coach in the NFL. I'm sorry. Just, you know, his halftime adjustments, worst in the league, doesn't game plan correctly. So I think he's a deer in the headlights. So he'll be out of Cincinnati this year. On the flip side for Philadelphia, I need to see more on the defensive side of the ball. They averaged and allowed 125 rushing yards per game. That was 17th in the NFL. Schedule very difficult this year, Ben. I think they're under their win total in 2021.
So both Cincy and Philly, their team win total right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook set at 6.5, but the juice is very different. The juice to the under for Cincinnati, minus 140. The juice to the under for the Philadelphia Eagles, plus 120. The over has the juice for their team win total at minus 140. We're not done with our team win total takeover on this segment. Joe, we have to welcome in our MSG audience, but that means we focus on two team win totals of the two teams here in the New York, New Jersey area, the New York Giants and the New York Jets. A new regime for Gangrene and the Giants trying to build off some momentum at the end of the 2020 season. We'll look at their team win totals, their divisional odds for both the AFC and NFC East as we welcome in our MSG audience here to the Morning After on Sports Grid, Sirius XM Channel 204. Team win totals. Let's take it over. And welcome to our MSG audience here on the Morning After, also on Sirius XM Channel 204, joined by Joe Lisi this morning on our Two Cups of Joe here on the Morning After. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. And Joe, we've been talking team win totals. We've been looking ahead to the 2021 NFL season, and now we focus on the two teams here in New York. We start with the New York Giants. After a very poor start to the year, losing seven of their first eight games, the Giants responded in the second half of the 2020 NFL season, even had hope of winning that NFC least last year in what was a very ugly division. The Giants finishing with a 6-10 record overall, but 4-2 within their own division. Their team win total right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook is set at 7. Their divisional odds in a wide open NFC East, Joe Lisi, are at plus 440. What's your outlook on the New York Giants for this upcoming football season?
This is one of the hardest bets for me in terms of the 2021 futures market, Ben, because I love what Joe Judge did, right? The team bought in, and the biggest thing for a first-year head coach is that you lose games close, right? And that's what the New York Giants did in terms of their 10 losses. Five of them came by 10 points or less. Schedule is very difficult, and I just don't know if I have enough confidence in Daniel Jones this year. Even though Kenny Galladay comes back over from Detroit, they add Kadarius Toney, the big play wide receiver from the University of Florida. It's the turnovers for Daniel Jones in a big spot. I think that's the Achilles heel for this team. Love the defense. I think they could be one of the tops in terms of stats in entering 2021, but it's Daniel Jones, and I think they're right at their number and fail to make the playoffs this coming season.
Joe, what do you make of the NFC East divisional odds as a whole? Because you have the Cowboys as the favorites right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook at plus 105, the Washington football team at plus 270, the Giants with the third shortest odds at plus 440, and then the Eagles there at plus 550. I know we're throwing away the Eagles because, like you mentioned, you think they go under their team win total posted at FanDuel at 6.5. But how wide open do you think the NFC East is this year?
I think it's really wide open for the simple fact that each team has a weakness, right? Dallas, the weakness is on the defense. For Washington, we still don't know what that offense is going to bring with Ryan Fitzpatrick at the helm, and can he stay healthy for a full season, right? He's done so up until this point in his career, but he is an older quarterback, right? And then for the New York Giants, what's the actual identity of this team? Are they a ground-and-pound type of team that wants to take games over and shorten games and win it on their defense, or are they going to just go and open it up now because of those playmakers that they added? That puts more pressure on Daniel Jones, and unless he limits turnovers, Ben, he's going to cost this team games. So that's the problem for the New York Giants right now. But in terms of the front runner, for me, it is Dallas and Dak Prescott. He clearly is the most experienced and battle-tested quarterback and more athletic than Ryan Fitzpatrick entering the year. That offense is going to score with some of the best teams in the NFL this year. So Dallas has an explosive offense and can win it just based off of offensive productivity this year.
Yeah, that offense is going to be lights out. If the defense can even hold teams to 21, 24 points a game, right, I think there's a shot the Cowboys will be a part of each of those contests. As we look at the other team in New York now, Joe, from the NFC East to the AFC East, the New York Jets coming off a 2-14 season in 2020, but a bunch of new faces for the Jets this upcoming year. Head coach Robert Saleh in there now, a new offensive coordinator, and Mike LaFleur, and of course, the second overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft. Zach Wilson looks to take over the reins of that offense for the Jets. Their team win total right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook is at 6. They have the longest odds in the AFC East to win the entire division, no surprise there, at plus 2100. What do you expect to see out of a Robert Saleh-led New York Jets team led by Zach Wilson under center this year, Joe?
Well, I think they go under their total. I think they'll be better on defense, Ben, but this team lost 13 games last year, and I know it was the other regime by 17 points per game. Keep an eye out for that. And when you look at the wide receivers, I mean, they're good. Are they elite? Jamison Crowder, Denzel Mims, Corey Davis. I don't know if they can stretch defenses vertically, even with Zach Wilson at the helm, and he's going to struggle as well. I mean, he clearly understands the tight end type of relationship, utilize that in BYU, but when you keep him in the pocket, he struggles, and he's going to struggle with his reads and progressions early on. So rookie quarterback, rookie head coach, I think that's, you know, a growing pains in year number one. I think the Jets go under their win total this season.
Joe, we were talking about the Buffalo Bills at the top of the AFC East and looking at their future market value across the AFC Championship odds, the Super Bowl odds as well, with the third shortest odds in the Super Bowl market at plus 1200. Thus, to have them be the odds-on favorite right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the AFC East at minus 150 is no surprise. I want to focus on Zach Wilson a little bit because you and I both huge college football guys, and we'll get some CFB talk here in just a few minutes on the morning after, but we were two guys that were rather skeptical of Zach Wilson being the surefire pick at number two, and the idea that Justin Fields or even Trey Lance shouldn't have been that guy at number two. So you mentioned you expect Zach Wilson to struggle a little bit. How do you think his game translates to this next level?
Well, can he handle the pressure of New York? You know, that's going to be the major question, you know, a mentality perspective, because quite honestly, Daniel Jones is struggling with that right now. You know, he has not embraced New York, and that's the biggest thing, you know, that mental fortitude. If he can do that, that's the first step. But again, you look at some of the biggest games on his schedule, not last year, but 2 years ago against Tennessee, he struggled. And against some of the other big teams, he struggled. That's not a good resume to start your career in New York.
So the Giants team win total is at 7. The Jets at 6. Both of those over is juice. Minus 125 for the Giants. Minus 115 for the New York Jets. On the other side of the break here on the morning after, we go to our home, Joe Lisi. We talk some college football looking ahead to the 2021 campaign. CFB preview talk on the other side of the break. Stay with us here on the morning after. SiriusXM, Channel 204.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the morning after on Sports Grid. You're listening in on SiriusXM Channel 204. I am Ben Stevens, joined by Joe Lisi for this first hour. He is the host of Football Full Circle. You can catch that every day on Sports Grid Radio, SiriusXM Channel 204, from noon Eastern to 2 p.m. Eastern. They talk NFL. They also talk college football. So that's where our focus goes right now, Joe. A few weeks away from when we get media days around all the Power 5 conferences, and then fall camp gets started in just a couple of weeks as we look ahead to the early portion of September in the start of the 2021 college football campaign. And of course, the FanDuel Sportsbook has you covered. Odds already posted up for week one lines. You could even look as far back as the game at the final part of November between Michigan and Ohio State and see an early number there, but also in the futures market. And when you look at the odds to win the national championship, Joe, in 2021, it's the same cast and crew as we pretty much see every other year. And that makes sense because in the seven-year history of the college football playoff, five teams, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Notre Dame, have made up 20 of the available 28 spots in the CFP. The five leaders right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook with the shortest odds, it's Alabama as the favorite at plus 250. You have Clemson at plus 400, Georgia at plus 500, Ohio State at plus 600, and then Oklahoma 8-1 at plus 800. Then a significant drop-off to the next team on the board in Iowa State, Joe, at plus 2,500, 25-1. So when you're looking at the same cast and crew as we always see, the same familiar faces, Bama led by Nick Saban, Clemson led by Dabo Sweeney, Ohio State with Ryan Day back at the helm, where do you find the value when you look at the CFB board on the FanDuel Sportsbook?
Well, just off of what I saw right there, the team that I would bank in terms of bouncing back in 2021 is the LSU Tigers. The foundation is there from the national championship game 2 years ago with Joe Burrow, right? Miles Brennan returns, but you also have sophomore phenom Max Johnson that could challenge for the starting quarterback position. You have John Emery, I have Davis Price as running backs. You have an elite wide receiver in Kayshon Booty and one of the best defensive backs in the nation in Derek Stingley Jr. So they have the type of playmakers to make a run. And at 50-1, I love those odds for the LSU Tigers. So I'm a big backer of underdogs, especially at the early part of the year, Ben. But, you know, you have to keep in mind that the top teams, Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, they're going to be there, right? You look at Alabama, I mean, they're just dominant in terms of what they're able to do, reload each and every year now with Bryce Young. Clemson as a whole, Ben, 56-5 in the ACC since 2014. They're 37-1 at home in Death Valley since 2016, and Ohio State's only lost five games since 2015 in the conference. So you got to keep those teams in your sights in terms of the futures market for the NCAA title because they're going to be there at the end.
Georgia is a very fascinating team to me at plus 500 because all things point to a matchup of Alabama and Georgia in the SEC title game that could decide who gets a spot in the Final Four in college football playoff, or maybe both of those teams, two out of the SEC, reaching the CFP Final Four. But Georgia is a team to look out for. The defense under head coach Kirby Smart is absolutely stacked once again. One of the best defenses in the SEC in all the country last year. And really on the offensive side of the ball, Joe, is where I'm excited by what let the Bulldogs return in 2021, led by their quarterback JT Daniels, the transfer from USC that missed early time last year in 2020, but then came on super strong to end out the 2020 season. Future is very bright, it seems, in Athens, Georgia for those Bulldogs. You mentioned the Ohio State Buckeyes there at plus 600. I'm a guy with many Big Ten sympathies. Ryan Day, in his 2 years at the helm as the head coach of that Ohio State football program, yet to lose a game in the regular season. It is going to be a little bit different this year. Obviously, a compacted, weird 2020 season across all college football, especially in the Big Ten Conference, going back to a 12-game regular season. We will see how that pertains to the Ohio State Buckeyes, who have a week two game against the Oregon Ducks. But Joe, there's a team on this board, and when you look at the future board right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, six teams across the country have odds at 50-1 at plus 5,000. A team that you highlight in there is the Miami Hurricanes, who have a potential Heisman front runner in De'Ara King returning from injury back to Coral Gables. What do you like about the Canes this year in 2021?
Well, I think it's De'Ara King. You know, their season hinges on his success, and he is one of the most lethal playmakers in terms of college football. Did so a couple of years ago when he led that Houston Cougar offense and then really progressed with Rhett Lashley, the offensive coordinator, last year. They have Mike Harley, a big play wide receiver that stepped up. They get Rambo, the former Oklahoma wide receiver that comes over. Cameron Harris is a good back that can pound the rock between the tackles. But Manny Diaz said that even though Jalen Phillips and Gregory Rousseau have moved on to the NFL, this is potentially his best defense as a whole. He brings back six starters. I got to believe him. And the biggest thing for me is they have the type of resume, Ben, to run the table. Even if they don't win the game against Alabama week one, they're 17.5-point underdogs. If they show well in that game, cover that game, and De'Ara King breaks out for a 300-yard performance, they can run the table the rest of the way and be 11-1, and you might have yourself a lottery ticket taking the Canes prior to the season at an 80-1 shot.
What a welcome back for De'Ara King in college football. Coming off an ACL injury in the bowl game for Miami at the end of the 2020 campaign, well, you get the reigning national champions, Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide, week number one, a 17.5-point spread, like Joe mentioned. So not only future outright odds in the FanDuel Sportsbook, but like we mentioned, if you want to get in there, you want to get some early leans, you can bet on some spreads and some lines ahead of week number one of the college football season in early September. So, Joe, let's go through the Power Five conferences now, and I think the ACC is a fascinating place to start, focusing on those Miami Hurricanes, but the heavy, and I mean heavy, odds-on favorite to win the ACC, which makes sense because they have done it 6 years straight, are the Clemson Tigers at minus 900. A significant drop-off from minus 9-1 for the Clemson Tigers to the teams with the two shortest odds, those Miami Hurricanes and the UNC Tar Heels at both plus 1,010-1. Joe, what do you make of the ACC this year? Do you think it's Clemson's, or do you think a team like Miami, like North Carolina, can challenge the Tigers in that conference?
Well, I think it's one of the teams from the coastal, right? We talk about, you know, what team can be there in the Big Ten when we had our discussion in terms of stealing the West to possibly strike the upset in the title game. It's got to be either Miami or North Carolina with Sam Howell at the helm. Now, the problem with North Carolina entering the season, he loses his top four wide receivers from a year ago, loses starting running backs Javonte Williams and Michael Carter. They do get a transfer from Tennessee in Ty Chandler, but that's going to be very difficult, even for an experienced quarterback in Sam Howell. That quarterback to wide receiver relationship, especially at the start of the year, Ben, is going to be intriguing. How does that develop? They open up with Virginia Tech, a team that they beat by 11 points last year. They're a 6.5-point favorite week number one, but it all hinges on that meeting in Chapel Hill with De'Ara King and the Miami Hurricanes. They rushed for 544 yards in last year's win over the Hurricanes on the road. Can they duplicate that this year? I'm not so sure. Mac Brown's done a fantastic job, but I think this year Miami strikes through for a coastal title.
You can tell the expertise, you can tell the insight exuding out of Joe Lisi right now on this Tuesday morning in July, talking some college football, and that is what we are doing here on the morning after on Sports Grid, Sirius XM, Channel 204. And Joe, I think you bring up a great point about the ACC. When you look at Miami and you look at UNC, both at plus 1,000 right now, 10-1 to win the conference championship, maybe they don't get past Clemson, but to hold that ticket in the conference alone, they will not be plus 10,000 on the money line if they are to match up with the Clemson Tigers in that ACC title game. So tremendous amount of value and opportunity to possibly middle or hedge out by the time we get to that first weekend in December. You, all around college football, I like to consider myself the same, but especially in the Big Ten Conference, and that's where the focus is next. The Ohio State Buckeyes, the odds-on favorite once again, minus 220 to win the Big Ten title when all is said and done come early December in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium. The Wisconsin Badgers next at plus 600. You have Penn State and Iowa at plus 900 as well. Joe, I think it's the same kind of idea for the Big Ten as it is in the ACC. You want to find the value with teams coming out of the Big Ten West, because Ohio State seems more than likely to win the Big Ten East, which they have done all but 2 years since the Big Ten went to that Big Ten East and West division. So I think it is Wisconsin or it's Iowa at plus 600 or plus 900. Is that where you also see the value on the board for the Big Ten Conference?
That's one of the plays, Ben, and in terms of, you know, going to the West. But if I'm going to the West, I'm going to bounce back with the New Jersey Kid and Tanner Morgan, PJ Fleck in Minnesota. I think they have the tools and the foundation to bounce back in a big way. Starting running back Mo Ibrahim is one of the best in terms of the Big Ten Conference. Another bruising running back, yards after contact. And that defense, even though they lose some playmakers on the defensive side of the ball like Carter Coughlin and Antoine Winfield, field, I think they can step up this year. So keep an eye out for Minnesota in the West. But when we look at the division with Ohio State, I don't think Michigan does it. You know, I don't know if Alan Bowman's the answer or Cade McNamara, but we have to look to Happy Valley and in terms of James Franklin. In terms of the team closing the gap on the Ohio State Buckeyes, the only team that has shown they can do it is the Penn State Nittany Lions. Now, they were in that game last year in the fourth quarter as a 13.5-point underdog. Depending upon when you bet it, some people covered, others didn't because of the missed extra point. But from a physicality perspective and that mentality perspective, Penn State feels they can go toe-to-toe with Ohio State. That's half the battle, and I think Sean Clifford takes a big step up this year in 2021. So as a dark horse on the Ohio State side, look for the Penn State Nittany Lions to bounce back in a big way.
Penn State lost their first five games of the season last year, the first time that has happened in Penn State history in a very long time, but then did bounce back, showed some resilience in a weird year, winning four straight to end off the 2020 campaign. Joe, the Big 12 will be interesting with Oklahoma, the odds-on favorite, minus 170, then Iowa State at plus 250. You have a Texas team at plus 1,200, but we only have about a minute and a half left in this segment. So much college football talk, I think we have to focus on the SEC. Bama, the odds-on favorite, at minus 160, but Georgia is creeping up there at plus 190. Do you think these two teams, the Tide and the Dogs, will meet in the SEC title game when all is said and done in December?
I've been a Dog fan since 1980 and Herschel Walker, Ben. So my allegiance is to the Dogs. You know, my one concern is I don't believe in JT Daniels. As good as he was, that was when the pressure was off after Georgia lost two games, critical games, to knock them out of the title run. So can he do it when the bullseye's on his back? I need to see it before I believe it. He looked like a deer in the headlights 2 years ago entering USC when he's Gatorade Player of the Year. So we'll see if he can do it. He struggled early on against Cincinnati as well. I think Florida will be there. And a dark horse in the East, keep your eye out for Mark Stoops in Kentucky. They're building that team from the inside out. Chris Rodriguez, an elite running back. Keep your eye out for Kentucky in the East this year.
What a great time we had in this segment, Joe Lisi. Two college football guys talking a little shop here in the middle portion of July, looking ahead to the 2021 college football season. The other Power 5 conference, we did not mention the Pac-12. all teams there with a plus money next to their figure. You have Oregon, the favorites at plus 230. Washington, the second shortest odds at plus 350. If you're going to look at the Oregon Ducks and Eugene this year, focus on the defensive side of the ball. Kayvon Thibodeau might be the number one overall pick when we get to the 2022 NFL Draft. We round out this first hour with Joe Lisi, looking to fade the public on the other side of the break. Stay with us here on Sports Grid, the morning after, coming up next.
It's your lucky.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are about to close out the first hour of the morning after here on Sports Grid, Sirius XM Channel 204. It has been a football-focused hour talking with Joe Lisi, our first of two Joes on this Two Cups of Joe, the morning after here on this Tuesday, July 13th. We've been talking a lot of football, but now it's time to see how the public did last night for the Home Run Derby. It is time, of course, to fade the public. So a quick round of applause here for my usual co-host on the morning after, Arielle Epstein, the prop queen herself, cashing a huge ticket yesterday. She gave you as her best bet until Bet Do Us Part, Pete Alonso, to win his second straight home run derby. Well, Polar Bear Pete did just that at plus 450, Joe Lisi, is what Arielle Epstein told you to take that value. He closed somewhere closer to plus 600 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So I asked the question, did you win a bet on the home run derby last night? So Joe Lisi, did you win a bet on the home run derby last night at Coors Field?
No, I didn't. I wasn't locked and loaded. I was on Ohtani. He didn't step up, but I'm glad that the public did make money, and a great pick by Arielle, as always. That's why she's donned the prop queen, right? She just comes through with these props. Amazing.
61.3% of the public, according to that poll, winning a bet last night. A lot of confidence maybe in Pete Alonso. Maybe they took the over of the 519.5 that was set on the FanDuel Sportsbook, courtesy of Juan Soto, going over by the hook. Joe Lisi, you can find him all across the Sports Grid Network, in-game live, hosting it every weekend, and the host of Football Full Circle on Sirius XM Channel 204 every weekday from noon Eastern to 2 p.m. Eastern. NFL talk, college football talk, looking ahead to the 2021 campaign. Joe, it was a pleasure to start off this morning after first hour with you today.
Oh, I loved it, Ben. Let's do it again. I mean, football season right around the corner.
What are we, 2-3 weeks away? I think we gave people a tremendous amount of value right now in the futures market, whether it was the NFL, futures, team win totals, looking at college football and the conference odds all across the board. Many thanks again to Joe Lisi. Find him all across the Sports Grid Network. Our second cup of Joe coming up, make it a double order. We got Joe Pisapia on the other side talking to baseball and early leans for the All-Star break.
Are you one of us?
We've just got one question.
Do you like games?
We do.
Do you like winning?
What a coincidence.